We continue our discussion of becoming a man of God. And many men are husbands. And there's a masculine male role that you are called by God to play. Some of you are not husbands. You are single men. But whether you are a single man or a husband, there is a husbandness worldview role to play as glorifying God with your masculinity. Now, why do I say husbandness worldview? Well, there are certain roles that a husband exercises as a believing husband that even for a single man are very important nonetheless. So let's talk first about husband relational love. So we read in Ephesians 5:25, husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Ephesians 5:28, in the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as their own bodies. He who loves his wife loves himself. Proverbs 12, verse 14. From the fruits of his lips, a man is filled with good things as surely as the work of his hands reward him. Now, I talk about husband relational love. There is something powerful, so powerful, in the union of a man and a woman that the Apostle Paul compares it to the relationship of Christ and his church. As a man of God, this is something to grow in. As a husband, it is something to grow in. It's a spiritual love. It is agape love. It is that which we live and speak about, the fruit of our lips that come out of our heart. And whether you're a married man or a single man, for a married man, this becomes a way of life as you exercise your masculinity. You will actually find ways to think relationally, to love and listen to your wife, to respect her, to love her with your whole being, to love in ways you never before dreamed of, knowing that it's about sacrifice. When you think of your responsibility, it is out of the self-sacrificing love of Jesus Christ for us that you give to your wife. A single man, that becomes an encouraging, powerful message and metaphor for how you treat everybody. How you treat everybody and other women to treat as sisters. But then you're this big brother who is there to protect and defend and even provide. You know, I've seen one man who applied this to a sister who never married. And he and his wife provided for her their entire lives. And it was, for me, a beautiful thing to observe. Being a husband and thinking about husbandness worldview, I must talk about being a servant head. 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. Now I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of every woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Ephesians 5, verse 23. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Acts 18, verse 2. There he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. I quote these three passages because they all have that powerful common thread that men are to take responsibility and to lead, be noticed for their humble and servant attitudes. Now, some people will say, well, this is one of the things we don't like. You know, male authority, male abuse. That is not what the Bible talks about when it comes to the headship, the leadership of a man. It's instead out of love. It's out of Ephesians chapter 5, the verse before this, these passages talk about, it's out of mutual submission. But it's first submission to Jesus Christ, who is our head. If you have ever used this passage, that you're the head, to get your way, I believe using, that's like, as I call it, using the God card. Like, I want to get my way and I'm the head of the home. This is something that ought to describe you and your efforts and responsibilities, not prescribe how you're going to like run things around here. I mentioned in this passage before, Acts, in these three passages, Acts 18 verse 2, there he met a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus who had recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla. What's interesting about that is the first time Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned, Aquila is mentioned first. So here we see, when doing exegesis and study on these passages of Aquila and Priscilla, we see how Aquila is this provider, likely. He's the one who meets Paul, they're making tents, and Aquila, as the head lead provider with his wife Priscilla, become a powerful team in the kingdom of God. But you see a model of headship there that is pretty amazing and awesome. Next, husbandness, worldview. How does it apply? Well, a your wife oriented sexuality. So here's three passages. Hebrews 13, verse 4. Marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure, for God will judge the adulterer and all the sexually immoral. Proverbs 5, verse 18. May your fountain be blessed, and may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. And 1 Corinthians 7, verse 5. Do not deprive each other except by mutual consent and for a time, so that you may devote yourself to prayer. Then come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Your wife-oriented sexuality is a godly, masculine behavior and trait that as you grow in your life, it becomes very powerful witness to your wife, to your children, to your community. When I say your wife, the fact is like we all struggle with our eyes. Maybe I should say all, most of us. Most men struggle with their eyes. That's just the honest truth. God has created women as beautiful. And when a beautiful woman walks by, we see and admire that beauty. The worldly man will look at that person and objectify her. The godly man will see any woman's beauty and acknowledge and glorify God. But acknowledging beauty is not moving it to sexuality where we cross the line and want to sleep with that woman or want to abuse or anything that crosses the line. Instead, we train our hearts and our minds for our wife. And if 100 beautiful women without clothes walked before us, yes, we would notice it because we are human and we are designed to notice. But we will not cross that line, and we'll ask the Holy Spirit to make our sexuality be expressed to, fulfilled in, exclusive to our wife. Now, what about if you're a single man? Now you're faced with all sorts of options with the internet and with pornography and all of that. here's where you, as a godly man, can prayerfully hone your sexual experience, even as a single, and in your mind, it is about your wife someday, if you ever get a wife. Train your mind and your heart to be a one-woman man, even for the future. Now, I'm not going to mention how to do this. I'm just going to encourage you to do this. And there's debate on whether, you know, should singles masturbate as men or not. And however that comes down, but if you did choose to masturbate to express that sexual tension, even then, to not have pornography as an object, not any one person or somebody that is not yours, but to, in a sense, have it in your mind that you are a one-woman man, and your sexuality is defined by this. Many people struggle with pornography because when they were young, the sexual images that they saw created a many-woman sexual DNA inside of them. And many of you understand that and have asked God to bring you to a single-minded sexual attraction that is your wife, or in this case, if you're single, to your future wife. One more thing, back to this, these passages. Proverbs 5, verse 18, may your fountain be blessed, may you rejoice in the wife of your youth. To really invest in your marriage and to, you know, not have this attitude. You know, I know as a minister over the years, you know, somebody would get married and we'd be at the reception and somebody would joke how you are free, and then when you get married, now you're not free, and too bad for you, you know, you've caved in. And I think to myself, we shouldn't even joke about that. Instead, we should be saying, all right, now for the next, you know, 30, 40, 50 years, unless the Lord takes someone home, 60 years, my dad and my man, 70 years, you are blessed. And two are one. And the two are one, like Priscilla and Aquila, are a powerful force. One more passage about do not deprive each other by mutual consent and for a time. What that about is about is that as the marriage bed is pure and exclusive, that you do not frustrate each other in that area. Now, what happens if your spouse, your wife, is not interested in sexuality and there you struggle? Well, to be truthful, to be honest, to share your concerns, to talk to your pastor, leader, or someone trusted, and maybe sit down if this is a huge stumbling block. The option to just say, oh, well, forget it and go a different direction is not an option for you. Yes, Satan will tempt you. There's no question about it. But to be a man of God and to move into the journey of, even despite some big challenges, that you're not a victim about it, but that you're moving in a great direction. Now, if your wife desires more sexual attention from you and you basically are refusing her, change that pattern. Change that pattern because you want her to thrive and be well and not tempted. One more thing, promote kingdom couples. You know, whether that's in this concept of husbandness, where you promote other couples without feeling, if you're single, without feeling like you're lacking because you don't have a wife, no. It's still promote, enjoy the fact that God has made the two one, and when there are kingdom couples, it's a beautiful thing. I want to read three passages, Acts 18, verse 26. He began to speak boldly in the synagogue. This is referring to Apollos. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. Romans 16, verse 3, greet Priscilla and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, the church in the province of Asia sends you greetings. Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly in the Lord, as does the church that meets in their home. I find it interesting that when Aquila and Priscilla are mentioned, one is mentioned first before the other in different passages. So the first time, I read that earlier, you get the sense of, okay, the head of providing is Aquila, with him is his wife Priscilla. Well, then in these later passages, you hear the story about, here comes Apollos, you can look it up in Acts 18, who becomes one of the amazing leaders of the early church. And when they meet Aquila and Priscilla, it's mentioned Priscilla first, as if Aquila opens the door. Priscilla is doing the discipling of Apollos. And then the next passage, this is when Paul is greeting various leaders in Rome. He greets Priscilla first, my fellow workers, and Aquila. And the next time, they're talking about a church plant. In 1 Corinthians 16, verse 19, you read in the Bible here, and Aquila and Priscilla greet you warmly. And there you see, like, the convention of the provider of the and the protector is mentioned, and Priscilla, and they have a church in their home. So I find that fascinating, but I find this about husbandness, like the philosophy of husbandness that everyone can understand. You know, as a guy, when you honor another man's home and, you know, honor the relationship that he has with his wife, that's a form of, I believe, of husbandness worldview. So each of us, whether we're married or not, as men of God, we stand together with every husband. As husbands, we stand together with other husbands in our fraternity of loving our wives. As a husband to a wife, you have a beautiful opportunity to exercise your masculinity and serve her needs. In the next presentation, and I didn't mention this, we're going to talk about fatherness, but I'll mention one more thing. As a husband, when you come in union with your wife and you have children, that is an incredible union by which to raise children in the Lord and to launch the next generation of Christian leaders. So, a man of God loves being a husband if he is one. And loves the philosophy of husbandness if he is not one. And as a leader, he wants to promote a society where men find joy in being husbands.